We're now ready to define the Fréchet derivative. So let's say we have some vector spaces x and y, and a function f between those vector spaces. F is defined on a subset, open subset O of x, or O. So O might be a proper subset or the entire set x. We have some point x bar in the domain of definition of f, mapping to a point f of x, which lies in f of y. What we're interested in is what is the derivative of f at this point. Here comes the definition. Again, we have norm vector spaces, an open subset of the domain of a function f mapping from this subset O into y. We say that f is differentiable or Fréchet differentiable at some point at this point if there is some bounded linear operator A. So A lies in the set curly L of bounded linear operators from x to y, such that this ratio, which you recognize from the previous video, goes to zero as h goes to zero, h lying in the vector space x. We call this bounded linear operator the Fréchet derivative of f at this point. Here's a lemma which we need to establish before we do anything. And it says that if this Fréchet derivative exists, then it's unique. And this would be very troublesome if there were several different derivatives of one a function at the same point. So when this is established, we can safely talk about the derivative at the point and not just a derivative. So the method of proof is standard when we want to prove uniqueness. We say that we have two different objects with this property of being a derivative at this point x bar. Let's define this function, little f of h, which is the ratio of the norm of this whole expression by the norm of h. So h now lies in x. And of course, this is a ratio of norms, so this is some real non-negative number. Well, if you look at this expression in the norm and the numerator here, you see that there are lots of common expressions. These two cancel, and these two cancel. So we get minus minus b minus a. And this expression in the denominator, we can multiply that into the norm and then use the fact that b and a are linear operators to put this 1 over norm of h inside of the argument of b minus a. So we can write all of this as this. On the other hand, we can apply the triangle inequality to this expression in the numerator to say that the norm of the difference between this and this is at most the norm of the first expression plus the norm of the second expression. Well, we know by definition of differentiability that both of these expressions go to zero because we have assumed that A and B are derivatives of F at x bar. So this is precisely the definition of differentiability at x bar, that this, when you insert this derivative A or B, you get zero in the limit h goes to zero. Okay, so that says that as h goes to zero, little f of h goes to zero. Now, let's say that we have any point x in big X. What we want to do is to say that b of x is equal to a of x. We want the two derivatives b and a to be precisely the same. So we start by writing down the norm of the difference between those two objects. Now we do a trick which we use quite often. We multiply and divide by the same thing. So multiply and divide by the norm of x. So you see norm of x is here and norm of x is here. And also multiply by some positive real number, alpha. So multiply and divide by alpha. Well, all of this you recognize as f of alpha times x. And then we have this number norm of x, which sits outside and it's just some number. Well, if we let now alpha go to zero, then the term in the argument of little f goes to zero. And what we derived on the previous page was that if you let the argument of f go to zero, then you get zero in the limit. So all of this goes to zero. But this expression that we started out with doesn't depend on alpha at all. So the only way that this can be equal to something which goes to zero, as this parameter goes to zero, is that what we started out with is zero. So this norm is zero, which is the same as saying that this is zero. Now, x was a completely arbitrary point. So a and b are the same at all points. In other words, a is equal to b. So we have shown that two different derivatives, if they exist, then they must be the same. Hence, that's the same as uniqueness. So from now on, instead of a or b, we'll write f prime of x bar to relate it with what you think of as a derivative. So by definition, this object here is a bounded linear operator. And moreover, when you insert this term h, so f, this bounded linear operator of a point h, well, it's at most equal to the operator norm of this bounded linear operator times h. You know that whenever you have a bounded linear operator a, then ah or a of h is at most operator norm of a times norm of h. So this is something we derived early in chapter 5. This will be quite handy several times. And this is precisely where we use that. Not only is the derivative a linear operator, it's a bounded linear operator. So this expression is a finite number. Here's an example which where we relate what we've done so far with the usual notion of derivatives. So let's say that both of these vector spaces are the real line. Well, if you look at any linear operator from the real line to the real line, then it has to look like this, a constant times the input value for some constant, let's call it alpha here. Okay, so any bounded linear operator, hence also the derivative, if it exists, must be of this form. So that means that if we write down this whole expression, which appears in the definition of the derivative, then we get this. Here we're using the canonical norm. So the norm here is the absolute value. So the derivative is alpha, the derivative at some point h is alpha times h. Now we multiply h inside of the numerator. We get this familiar ratio minus alpha h by h, which is alpha. And this, to be a derivative, has to go to zero as h goes to zero. Well, that simply means that alpha has to be the limit of this as h goes to zero, which I'll write it using this Leibniz notation here, df dx at x bar. So this Fréchet derivative at x bar is the bounded linear operator, which takes a number h and multiplies h with the standard derivative at this point x bar. And note here that this is simply two ways of looking at the same thing. if you know what the derivative, the standard derivative at x bar is, then of course you can define this bounded linear operator. And vice versa, if you know what this bounded linear operator is, necessarily it's of the form constant times h, and you can read off what that constant is by setting, for instance, h equals 1. So if you set h equals 1, then you just get this number. So this is simply two ways of looking at the same piece of information, namely this number here. Here's another example in Euclidean space. X is Rm, y is Rn. And now if f is a differentiable function from x to y, it's differentiable at some point x bar, then we know from Taylor's theorem that this ratio goes to zero as h goes to zero. So that means that this bounded linear operator, f prime at x bar, must be the bounded linear operator which takes a vector h and multiplies the Jacobian of f at x bar with h. Well, the act of multiplying by a matrix is a bounded linear operator. So that means that this is indeed the derivative of f at x bar. It's the bounded linear operator taking a vector h and multiplying it with the Jacobian. In the next video, we'll derive some properties of Fréchet derivatives, which will enable us to do computations with derivatives.